We are of legal time. First is the call to order, done. Second, approval of minutes from the December 6th, 2021 meeting.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Without any discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Third, we have public comments. Is there anybody here from the public that would like to make a comment? Going once, going twice, moving right along. Number four, employee years of service recognition.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Today, we'd like to recognize Gerard Max. If you would come on, please, Gerard. Gerard is our assistant business license official. He's an invaluable member of the business license team and the department. He brought to the town a wealth of auditing and tax knowledge and has continued his knowledge into the realm of business licensing. He is so valuable, he's been promoted 3 times to his current position. We know a good one when we see him. Gerard is calm, precise, and dedicated. Through the many changes that have happened in the last 5 years he's been here, each time he's risen to the challenge and done an excellent job. Gerard, thank you for 5 years of service to the town and its residents.
All right.
One second, it's on a timer.
All right. All right. Up next, we have presentation of the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting.
Yes, sir. Good morning. It is my pleasure to present to you the National Government Finance Officers Association Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting Award to the Town of Mount Pleasant. This award represents significant achievement by the town. It reflects the commitment of you and our staff to meet the highest principles of government financial reporting. The certificate is the highest form of recognition in the area of governmental accounting and financial reporting, and its attainment represents a significant accomplishment by a government and its management. Credit rating agencies and other interested parties also view the award as a positive factor in decision making. Our comprehensive annual financial report was judged by an impartial panel to meet the highest standards of the program, which includes demonstrating a constructive spirit of full disclosure, which clearly communicates our financial story. Only 31 of 270 cities in the state can claim this award for 2020. Your guidance and support, along with the efforts of the finance team, have allowed the town to receive this award 33 times. So thank you. Thank you.
Again.
Yeah, gotta wait. Do you want us to come around?
I think we do it right here.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks.
Good job. All right. Great job by Marcy and your team.
Thank
for
you.
This outstanding achievement. Once again, how many years in a row?
33
years in a row.
Wow.
All right. Next up, we have presentation of the Town of Mount Pleasant Fiscal Year 2021 Independent Audit. And Marty, are you going to introduce?
Yes, sir. I'd like to introduce Emily Sobchak from Green Finney, our external auditor.
Good morning and happy new year.
Morning.
I'm here to present the results of the fiscal 2021 financial statement audit. Again, my name is Emily Sobchak and I'm the audit partner of Green Finney. So before we get into your financial results, we always believe that it's important to remember that when it comes to the financial statement audit, the bulk of the work is done by your team.
Is her microphone on?
Sorry, is that better?
Oh, you're good.
And so it's the town's responsibility to have good policies and procedures in place to ensure that the financial information that's provided, thank you, at year-end for audit purposes, as well as throughout the year for your strategic decision-making purposes, is complete, accurate, and reliable. And so that's done through performing regular risk assessments and ensuring that the internal controls that you have in place are properly addressing the risks that you're facing. Now, when it comes to the audit process, our responsibility is to audit the financial information provided and issue an opinion based on our audit. We did issue an unmodified opinion again this year. As you'll recall, that is a clean opinion. That's the opinion that you want to receive. And that opinion provides reasonable assurance that the financial statements are materially correct. So a very key piece there is to understand that a financial statement audit does not involve us looking at every single transaction that occurred during the year. Rather, we use our professional judgment in determining what transactions and what documentation we review during the audit process. So let's look at your general fund results for the year. Your general fund had an increase in fund balance of $7.4 million, bringing total fund balance in the general fund to $54.7 million. Now, included in that $54.7 million is $2 million that you, Council, have committed for disaster recovery. You also have $7.3 million that's assigned for the fiscal 2022 budget. So that includes a portion that was used to cover the budget shortfall, and then $4 million in carryover funds. And so when we take out those amounts, we're looking at unassigned fund balance of $45.4 million. When we compare your unassigned fund balance to your budgeted fiscal 2022 expenditures, we're looking at about 49% in your unassigned fund balance. The town's policy requires a minimum unassigned fund balance of 25% of your operating expenditures. There are a number of different reasons why it's important to maintain that healthy fund balance. One is to help with cash flows during the fiscal year. One of your largest revenue sources, of course, is your property tax revenues. And as you know, those, while we're measuring fund balance at June 30th, you've got about 6 months before your property tax revenues start coming in. And so having a healthy fund balance allows you to manage those cash flows without having to issue any short-term debt to fund your operating expenditures. It also provides you with better interest rates. Credit rating agencies like to see a good, strong fund balance policy, and they, of course, like to see you being in compliance with that policy. So how did we get to that increase during the year? Well, you had revenues of $90.5 million. That was an increase of about 9% compared to the prior year, and you were also about 9% better than budget. Those increases were primarily in your property and sales tax revenues, as well as your intergovernmental revenues, as you recognize about $4.2 million in COVID relief funding in your general fund. So it's important to remember that those types of revenue sources are non-recurring. On the expenditure side, you had general fund expenditures of $68.2 million for the year. That was an increase of 2% from the prior year, but you were 11% lower than what you had budgeted. And that was primarily due to overall conservative spending, as you know, we were still figuring out what the effects of the pandemic were going to be on your operating revenues. So now if we combine all of your governmental funds, so your general fund, capital asset fund, your bond funds, and your special revenue funds, you're looking at total revenues and other financing sources of $129.3 million compared to expenditures of $105.9 million. I do note there that part of that variance is due to debt proceeds that were received during the year but not fully expended as of year end. So in addition to your governmental funds, you also report two internal services funds. The health services fund is used to account for the costs of health, dental, and benefit services that are provided to employees. And the insurance management fund is used to account for the premiums, deductibles, and other expenditures related to your workers' compensation and property and casualty insurance liabilities. The health services fund reported a decrease in net position of $1.5 million compared to the prior year, while your insurance management fund reported a slight increase of about $17,000 compared to the prior year. Now, when we're looking at your funds, we're focused on current assets and current liabilities. But we also report the government-wide financial statements where we report long-term assets and obligations. So your capital assets at year end were $574 million. You had additions of $32 million during the year, including $15 million in donated infrastructure. And you have outstanding construction and design commitments of $5.4 million as of June 30th. On the long-term obligation side, you had total long-term obligations of $86.9 million. That was an increase of $3.3 million compared to the prior year, as your debt issuances exceeded your scheduled principal payments. And we do note there that for fiscal 2022, we're looking at total debt service payments of about $10.3 million. So in addition to your traditional long-term obligations, your long-term debt, we also continue to report your net pension liability related to your participation in the state retirement system. As we've talked about in the past, this liability is an actuarial liability, so it is an estimate. And while it is a large number, a net pension liability of $72.7 million as of year end, it's important to understand that that is your allocated piece of the total system's net unfunded actuarial liability. It's an estimate of future benefits that will be provided to participants in the system. While that big number will catch your eye, what really you need to focus on is the continued increases in your state-mandated employer contribution rates. As we've talked about in the past, those rates have been increasing for several years now. And while they were held steady for fiscal 2021 as a result of the pandemic, they did increase again for fiscal 2022, and they will continue to increase by 1% annually through fiscal 2024. And at that point, we'll be looking at rates of 18.5% and 21.2%. And so those rates are significant and will, of course, have a direct impact on your operating budget. Similar to the net pension liability is your net OPEB liability. This relates to your retiree healthcare plan. And so the big difference between this plan and the pension plan is that the town has its own OPEB plan. And so town council does have the authority to amend the terms of the plan, including the benefits and contributions provided for the plan. And so this liability, again, is an estimate, and it was $19.2 million as of June 30th. For fiscal 21, we implemented one new accounting standard. That was Government Accounting Standards number 84, and that provided new guidance for fiduciary activities. And so the impact that this had on the town was that the firefighters' 1% fund that was previously reported as a fiduciary fund was moved into your governmental funds. Just a small impact on your governmental activities, an increase of about $56,000 compared to the prior year. And again, this was just purely a reporting change due to the new accounting standard. For fiscal 2022, we'll be implementing another new standard. That's GASB number 87, which provides new guidance on leases. And so the town is currently in the process of evaluating how this standard will impact your financials for fiscal 2022. So in addition to your financial statement audit, any year in which you have federal expenditures greater than $750,000, we're required to do an additional compliance audit, and that's called the single audit. This year, we looked at two different programs, both related to your COVID relief funding, the Coronavirus Relief Fund and the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds. And I'm pleased to report that we had no findings noted related to that compliance audit. Nor did we have any findings related to your financial statement audit. And so that really reflects on all of the hard work that's done by Marcy, Peggy, and their team throughout the year to make sure that things are being done the way that they're supposed to be, and that that the town's maintaining effective internal controls that are preventing misstatements in your financial statements or non-compliance with the federal awards. And so wonderful job by the town there. Everyone's always been such a pleasure to work with, and while we won't be your auditors for fiscal 22, I am so thankful that we will be continuing to work with the town in providing accounting services and guidance. And so thank you to y'all and to Marcy, and I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all have.
guys have any questions?
I have no questions. I just find it very, very rewarding to not have any recommendations or comments. I've worked in other areas where the auditors really try to find something. Try to find something. That's their job. That's why they're hired. And they couldn't find anything, so that's great. Congratulations to our staff.
I was just going to basically say the same thing that he said. You know, I've been doing this for 21 years here, and our staff has always done a fantastic job. You could just go look at the wall up there and see all the plaques on the wall that they have. So we're very fortunate to have such a great staff. All of our staff at the town are good, great, do a good job, but certainly Marcy and them do a fantastic job as well. So thank you.
I do have one question. On the fund balance of $54.7 million, I'm guessing that you do a lot of government-type audits. Obviously, that's great that we have that large balance. When does it become a point where it's too high of a fund balance? I mean, is that possible? I mean, I know in business, you don't want to keep more than a few months operating for liability purposes and other things.
Sure. Well, and that's really, it depends on the future plans of the town. And of course, we know that the town's been growing significantly. It continues to grow. And so I think that council has done a great job of putting a policy in place to make sure that you are reserving some of those funds for capital, which of course you do make annual transfers to your capital fund based on your fund balance levels. And so I think that that helps to manage the fund balance. I mean, looking at 6 months operating expenditures in your fund balance as a coastal community, I think that's a pretty reasonable place to be. But so yeah, I think it's certainly healthy, but
thank you. I appreciate that. And again, thank you, Marcy, and your whole staff for everything that you guys do and keeping us above board with everything. So without anything else, we'll move on to the next item.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. All right. Up next, we have presentation of fiscal year 2021 impact fees.
Yes, sir. So South Carolina State Code requires an annual report of the town's development impact fees. The development impact fees for fiscal year 2021 for fire protection are 80% of the maximum allowable rate and totaled with interest $177,022. The development impact fees for municipal facilities and equipment are also at 80% of the maximum allowable rate and with interest totaled $338,420. The development impact fees for recreation changed from 80% of maximum allowable to 95% of maximum allowable rate effective January 1 and totaled with interest $702,552. The development impact fees for fiscal year 2021 for transportation are also 80% of the maximum allowable rate and totaled with interest $2,476,003. This report does reflect an amendment. During last year's report, we reported that we were going to spend 1.6 on Billy Swales. During an reallocation, we put it towards All American Boulevard using some of our American Relief Act funds towards Billy Swales. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear that we did make that adjustment. Any questions on impact fees?
I do. Do we have a comparison of what 2021 brought in versus prior years?
I do. I can put that, send you something, or I can just right now report on what that looked like.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. So for fire in 2021, it was 177. In 2020, sorry, it was $210,640. And this year, again, it was $177,000. For municipal facilities in 2020, it was $368,554, and this year was very similar at $338,000. For recreation fees for 2020, it was $724,285, and this year $702. Again, recreation impact fees are only on residential. It does not also have a commercial component. And then for transportation, for 2020, it was $2,013,757, and this year it was $2.4
million. Okay. Anybody else have any questions or? Okay. Then we will move right along to item number 8, overview of Greenbelt program funding.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Rambo, I know you had some questions about our Greenbelt funds, and so yes. I've prepared a quick overview that talks about our funding, talks about the application process, and then also covers a few of the policies that relate to Greenbelt. So to begin with, looking at our funds that we have, you know, Greenbelt in, well, the half-cent sales tax in general is in its second, we're in our second half-cent sales tax. The first one from 2004 has already expired, so this is one that was approved in 2016. And what we anticipate with this particular one is there will be overall for the entire county about $210 million contributed for Greenbelt funds. The town of Mount Pleasant right now, we have, as you can see from the slide, about $2.1 million in the bank, so to speak. All the projects that we pretty much funded from the original half-cent sales tax are listed on the other side, with our biggest project being the Rifle Range Road. We had a substantial contribution towards the conservation easement on Boone Hall, and then some monies that were spent on a passive area at Carolina Park. The Scanlonville project is coming out of the current half-cent sales tax money, and so you can see that per that note, we've got about $128,000 there. It was not a very expensive project that is pending to be deducted from our balance. We receive right now about $800,000 a year is contributed towards this. Last year, we received $890,000. Of course, that can fluctuate depending on the economy and what's collected. But overall, we expect by the time that the program ends with fiscal year 2042 that we'll have about $20 million still that will be collected. So that's where we stand with in terms of our funding. Even though we've are allocated this funding, you still have to apply for the funds. And just like the former program, it's the funds are actually distributed in the urban areas based on your population. So we're third in line behind Charleston and North Charleston in terms of the highest allocation that's received for an urban area. The program previously did not require an application process, now it does. So even though those funds are designated for us, we still have to go through a process. I will note, as you can see from the second bullet there, local nonprofit groups actually can try to apply for the funding. We actually saw that a couple of years ago. Y'all might remember East Cooper Land Trust was trying to seek some of the town's funding for a property on Shem Creek, and you all did not approve that. It requires that we as a town would have to approve such through resolution. So far we haven't distributed those funds to anybody else other than towards the town. About two application cycles per year. The application process the application that I was speaking to earlier does have a number of considerations that go in. How well does the project meet Greenbelt funds? I mean, Greenbelt definitions. Is there a threat of loss for the property? Is there a lot of public support for the property? And is all everything you receive some sort of point system for. We did find with our last application for Mount Pleasant Way, Scanlonville, that the application was definitely not meant to support corridor projects. It was more looking towards acquisition of large pieces of land. So, for example, when it asked about protection of wildlife we didn't have a lot to offer when it came to Mount Pleasant Way. But that is something that is being reviewed currently by the Greenbelt Advisory Board. So once again, your application is submitted. It is scored by a staff and a subcommittee of the GAB, the Greenbelt Advisory Board. It is then moved on to the full Greenbelt Advisory Board for their recommendation, and then is finally sent to county council so that they can make a determination whether to fund the project or not. A few things that I think are important to point out in policies, and these are what I would consider kind of frequently asked questions that I know you all have asked in the past, is the current funding is pay-as-you-go. So the county does not have any intentions that we are aware of, and this was voiced by their finance director at a meeting before Christmas, to bond funds for Greenbelt. So we think that they will continue to be pay-as-you-go. And then normally you can't be awarded funds for more than is in the whole pot or more than what is in your pot. They did let the city of Charleston do that this past year for the purchase of Fort Pemberton, but I think as we move forward that it'll be less likely to see that they'll allow anyone to do that. A big change, I think, that was a benefit to us with this second half-cent sales tax. The first one was a 70-30 distribution with the majority of the funds going towards the rural areas and then only 30% going to the urban areas. So this change to 50-50 obviously increased the amount of funds that we will see over the life of this current half-cent sales tax, which is good because our land typically costs a little bit more, so this will help us with that. You cannot use the fund for improvements. Maybe, you know, if you wanted to use it for some kind of pervious parking lot or something like that, that is acceptable, but otherwise they cannot be used for improvements. Also, structures are typically not allowed on the properties. If you bought something that was a historic piece of property and there was already a home or something on it, that would be an exception. And they do expect that you might have a playground or bathrooms or something like that on the properties as well. Right now, the Greenbelt Advisory Board, which I do sit on and represent the town of Mount Pleasant, we are doing a five-year review and to look at some of the policy changes. And one of them is, for example, how to better handle these corridor projects. As I mentioned, we found that when you ranked these applications, that the corridor projects didn't rank very well in terms of points because the application wasn't written in a way that was very supportive of that. But corridors are actually the one part of the entire Greenbelt that Greenbelt has not been successful in accomplishing. So our corridor project for Scanlonville this past application cycle was the very first one that the county has seen. So we hope to see a lot more as we move forward with Mount Pleasant Way. So that's kind of a quick overview of what we have in terms of money right now and a few of the policies and how we have to go about getting the money and through the application process. And I can answer any questions.
Yeah, I guess got a quick cut question. Can these funds be used for developing ball fields? In other words, if we have land like we have Upright Four Range Road that's open, can we put it toward?
No, it can't be used for any kind of land improvement. You certainly can buy the land and anticipate that there will be a ball field on it, but in the urban areas, but it cannot be used to actually construct it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Piggybacking on that question, so we purchased the Rifle Range Road Park land with Greenbelt funds.
Mm-hmm. In partnership with Charleston County PRC.
So that's what I'm kind of wondering. Are the preliminary plans that I've seen, I have Recreation Committee next, but have like a gym on it, for instance. So is that even allowed?
We probably have to have a little bit further discussion back with the Greenbelt staff. They knew that we were buying this with the intent for recreation, for active recreation, whereas Charleston County Parks and Recreation was intending for more of the passive that they typically do with the trails. I don't see, there's certainly not any issues or concerns with any of the, baseball, football, soccer, any of those types of amenities. Something like the gym, depending on how much square footage it takes, it may be acceptable to them if we can, we would have to just work with them on that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yes.
Sir, in addition to that, the funds we used weren't entirely Greenbelt funds. that acquired our half of that land.
Okay. So it's a mix.
Yes.
And going to that same park, I know we're looking at the Rifle Ridge Road extension this year. Do we plan on starting construction on this park this year?
No, sir. The park itself does not have funding at this point in time.
Okay. So none of that $2 million?
It can't be used for that. That $2 million that we have in the bank, I guess you could say, right now with Charleston County can be used for any other purchases of land only. And you know, our CIP right now, we have it shown for Mount Pleasant Way.
Okay.
Okay, so one question about these funds. So obviously we just bought a large parcel of undeveloped land in Carolina Park.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any sort of, are you allowed to apply after the fact, after you've bought it and said, hey, we're going to preserve at least a large portion of it or a portion of it, and or they can be ball fields, I guess, in Greenbelt funds as well. I guess what I'm asking is, are we allowed to say, hey, we just bought this for X number of dollars and here's $2.1 million sitting in this fund?
You can. But it is very clear within Charleston County's policy that it's entirely at the discretion of Charleston County Council as to whether or not they would pay for something that was purchased after the fact. There are certain criteria or things that they looked for in terms of like sense of urgency. Was this something that needed to be done very quickly? Was there any kind of communication with Charleston County in advance of this? But it's possible. I don't know that I've seen it done in the time that I've been involved, but it's very clear though that it's up to them. It's at their discretion.
Okay. Another question I have about that is, so if there is a parcel of land that we see, let's say priced at $1 million or something like that, within the town, the process is our council would have to, I guess, approve the purchase. Then it's still like a pending, right? Mm-hmm. And then the county approves it all within the window of like due diligence, I guess, or how does that how would that typically work?
Well, not necessarily, and timing can be a little bit different with everything. Like I said, they have two application cycles per year, and so I think ideally you would try to coordinate the timing of the purchase of the property with the Charleston County's approval. There are some circumstances where they might be willing to take an application outside of their regular timeframes and process if there is an urgency towards the purchase of it. And then there are ways where certainly when the application is already going through the process, a little bit different than the phase on property that you were just asking about, but when it's already going through the process, that you can, upon their approval, expect to be reimbursed through the Greenbelt funds.
Okay. And then, so I know a lot of the funds that we have planned for this have to do with Mount Pleasant Way, but if there's a group of residents and they don't want Mount Pleasant Way basically going through their area or they're not a fan of it, they can essentially go to county council and try to get them to not approve.
Yes.
That project, correct?
Yes, yes. And we've experienced that a little bit already with some concerns. And with that, I know that Charleston County is actually changing their process even further for corridor projects where they're requiring public meetings, which we have anyway. But they are going to require public meetings that they would plan to attend as well. And so we actually have one scheduled because we are looking at our next project on Whipple Road. And we have a meeting with the neighbors for this Thursday evening. And we've invited Charleston County to attend.
Okay. All right.
Do I have any further questions about this?
The Whipple Road, you mean the tennis courts?
It'll run along Ripple Road, Mount Pleasant Way. And okay. So we'd be working with Charleston County School District, Dominion Energy. We've got a lot of partners
okay.
already on that road and extend basically from Mathis Ferry all the way up to Long Point.
Okay. Thank yeah. you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. With that, that brings us to our last item, which is to adjourn. Thank you, everyone. Marcy, congratulations again on all the.
Thank you very much.